Hey folks, this is Pastor Roy from Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're coming to you with the Wednesday night Bible study of April the 29th. We're glad that you're joining us. Tonight we're coming to you from the library in our educational building at the facilities at Central Baptist Church. We want to say a special thanks to all those who work in our library to keep such a wonderful, wonderful supply of books, both fiction, nonfiction, reference material, anything that you might ever want to use for Bible study, it's all right here. I want to encourage you, stop by and check it out once we're all able to get back together. Tonight, we're actually going to look at the Word of God in a very familiar passage to many of us. It comes out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, it's actually referred to very often as the parable of the Good Samaritan. And as we revisit this today, I want us to take a few moments to think about the current situation that we're in. I want you to think about the times that we're living in. And I want you to think about how things are going to be as we continue to go forward and see what this passage speaks to you in reference to tonight. I want to go ahead and read the scripture that comes out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" Verse 29, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he had arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he sat him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him." Verse 35, "On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight, we want to thank you so much for Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice upon Calvary's cross, and for a way that was made to salvation that we might be able to spend eternal life with you. Father, tonight I pray that as we take a look into your word, I pray that we will truly be able to model what we learn from this passage. Lord, I pray that where there's areas that you will convict our heart tonight, that we will be strong and courageous in you and in your word enough to come into line with what it is that you would have for us to do. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless the time that we will spend together. Lord, bless us as only you can, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think for just a moment about a time when you helped somebody. You did something, you kind of, you know, went out of your way, or you saw that there was somebody that was in need, and you responded to what that need was, whatever it may have been. I'm sure there's probably something that comes to your mind. And I also want to ask you, when you think about that situation, how did it make you feel? You know, once you were done, after you had done something, whether it was kind, a kind gesture, whether it was some financial help, whatever the situation may have been, how did that make you feel after you were able to accomplish what the Lord had put on your mind? It's pretty good feeling, isn't it? Now, one of the things that we have to be careful about when we're used of the Lord in people's lives and in situations such as that, to remember that He is the one who gets the credit and the glory for it. We've said this so many times around church. God wants us to be His hands and His feet. He wants us to be His voice. He wants to take the talents and abilities that He has given us and wants us to use them for His honor and for His glory, not for our own. So let's not get over prideful when we're used of the Lord, and let's make sure that we always give credit where credit is due. But in our story here, Jesus told about a good Samaritan who helped somebody through a difficult situation. You know, the word tells us that there was a man who went down, and it said that he fell among thieves. If you go back and look around verse, I believe it's verse 25. Let me see if I got it right here. Actually, yeah, verse 25. He begins to tell a story, and he says, drop on down to verse 30. It says, "And Jesus said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed." And notice what it says. It says, "And leaving him half dead." So you can picture what this scene was like. Here was a man who, at least at the time, didn't know of anybody that was around. Maybe nobody even saw what had taken place. But he's been beaten, he's been robbed, and it says it was a pretty serious thing. It says that it left him about half dead. So here's a man who's now kind of laying off to the side of the road, maybe in the ditch, wondering if anybody's ever going to see him, wondering if anybody heard his cries, wondering if he's just going to lay there and die. So if you were in that particular man's situation, you are desperate for somebody to come and help you. You are desperate for somebody to care enough to pause in their life to give you a helping hand. Now, as we read on with this story, we see some interesting things that took place. It says in verse 31, it says, "Now by chance." Now, think about this. Maybe he hears this man's animal walking up. Maybe he hears talking, whatever the situation may be. All of a sudden, this man who is lying on the side of the road that has been robbed and beaten has a glimmer of hope. Somebody is coming. There's somebody there that can help me. And verse 31 says, "Now by chance, a certain priest came down from that road." A priest. Wow. Man, the preacher will help me out. That's what preachers do. Certainly he will take of his time and his effort to help me out because of the condition that I'm in. It says in verse 31, latter part, it says, "And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." You know what? There's a real tragedy in that verse alone. Here was a man who should have been one that had compassion. Here was a man who should have been the person whose heart went out to somebody that was in a needful situation, such as the man who had encountered the thieves. And I can only imagine what it must have been like. You might have been saying, "Well, you know, I've got to hurry up and get home," or "I've got to get to dinner," or, "Oh no, here we go again. You know, here's something that's going to take up my time." It's kind of like an expression that you hear very often today. "Well, I just don't want to get involved." And maybe to soothe his conscience, he kind of eased over to the other side of the road, so that maybe he thought the man didn't see him, or maybe he felt like there would at least be an excuse for him to go on past. Look at verse 31, the latter part of it says again, "And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Well, I can imagine that hope started going away at that particular point, because he thought, well, here was somebody who could have helped him, somebody who should have helped him, but yet somebody who didn't even give him the time of day. As hope was probably fading, then all of a sudden what you hear is he hears another fella coming up the road and looks, and it says in verse 32, "Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side." The same exact thing took place. You know, here's a guy who's laying over there on the ditch, dying, in bad shape, and the people who should have helped him, the people who would be most likely to help him based on the scripture, just walked on by. They didn't care. They didn't have time, or whatever the story or whatever the circumstance may be. Maybe they thought it was going to cost them some money, which, yes, according to the scripture, it did cost the Samaritan some money. Maybe they thought, well, I just really don't want to get involved. Folks, that's not compassion. Where's our compassion today? You know, I sit back and I read this story and I think about if there was ever a time that compassion needs to shine forth, it's in a day and age that we're living right now. You know, we've been encouraging folks, call and check on your neighbors, call and check on your family. I've seen people from our church do great and incredible things in stepping up to help others out. You know, but that doesn't need to be just because we're in a time of crisis. This should be each and every day as we're out and about in serving the Lord. But now it's come to our attention. Now, because we're in a time where it's more important than it has been in the recent past to look after one another, to be a neighbor. Now, hold on to that word because I want to come back to that word neighbor here in just a few moments. So we already know that according to our story, that the two people that really should have stopped and helped this man who had been beaten and robbed had passed him by. The priest had gone by, the Levite had gone by, and now verse 33 tells us this, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, I want to pause for just a moment, simply because the Samaritan would not, by culture or nature, be a friend of the man that was robbed. So I can imagine as he saw the Samaritan come and saying, well, if the priest didn't help me, if the Levite didn't help me, surely the Samaritan's not going to help me. They don't even talk to our kind. They kind of keep us at arm's length, and it would be completely a social oddity to see this Samaritan do anything to render any assistance to this man who has been beaten and laying beside the road. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, now pay attention to this word, he had compassion upon him. Where is our compassion today? You know, compassion is one of those words that is more felt than it is described. Do we have compassion for lost people? Do we have compassion for those that are in need? Or are we really more selfish? Are we really all about ourselves? But this is the man that was least likely to help out this man who'd been robbed and beaten, was the one who had compassion on him. And then it goes on and it says what he did in verse 34. It says, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. Do you see what was taking place? This was costly to the Samaritan. It cost him the supplies that he had to kind of doctor this man up. He used materials and things that he had with him to render aid. And it says not only that, it says that he put him on his own animal. So at that point, you've got the Samaritan who is walking so that he could help this other man as he put him upon his own beast as he was taking into place. It says in verse 34, it says he brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know what? I bet the Samaritan probably had other plans. I feel pretty confident that this was not part of what the Samaritan had planned for that particular evening. Maybe he was on his way home. Maybe there were. Maybe he had dinner waiting for him. Maybe there were other circumstances or situations that he needed to take care of. But because he had compassion, the compassion directed his steps. Because of the compassion, he rendered first aid to the man who needed it. Even when they were completely socially odd towards one another, even the person that the Samaritan should hate, it showed that he had compassion on him. He took the time out, and it says he took him to an inn. Yeah, complete misdirection from where he was going, took him to a place, and it says that he took care of him. But not only did he take care of him, it says this, he spent the night to make sure that he was okay. Then verse 35 tells us that on the next day, when he departed, this was the Samaritan, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come, I will repay you. You see, the Samaritan still had to get on with his life as well, but yet he didn't just leave the man there. He didn't stick him with the hotel bill. He didn't stick him there with no care. He actually asked the innkeeper, he said, you take care of him, and if there's more than I owe you, whatever you spend to take care of this man, I will pay you when I come back through. So he took responsibility. Folks, let me tell you something. To do what Jesus is asking you and I to do is going to be costly. It's going to cost us of our time. It's going to cost us of our talents. It's going to cost us financially as well. There will be times when the Lord is going to want us to use what He has given us, what He has supplied to us for His honor and for His glory. By the way, it's all His anyway. You know, we make a horrible mistake when we begin to think that anything that we have belongs to us. It all belongs to Him. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills, and you'll never, ever outgive God. I think sometimes He gives us tests to see whether or not we're going to be willing to use His money, His talent for His glory in our lives and in the lives of others. Are we going to be those compassionate people? Now, I told you a few minutes ago that I was going to come back to a particular word. As Jesus kind of finished speaking to this man, he said to him in verse 36, after all this had taken place and the Samaritan had taken care of the man, and after he left money for the innkeeper to take care of him and said, if I owe you anything else, I'll pay that when I come back through. Verse 36, Jesus asked the question. He says, so which of these three, now that was the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? He gives Jesus the answer in verse 37. He says, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You know, what happened was the man had answered the question properly. Jesus said, which one of these actually was the one who had showed mercy on him? Yeah, and the man essentially pointed out the fact that it was the Samaritan, the one least likely to. It was the one who had compassion. And remember when Jesus asked him, he said, which one of these was his neighbor? You know, we use that term a lot. Even before the pandemic started, one of the big things that I felt the Lord had put on my heart, and one of the things that we had been preaching all the way through, you know, from our young people on up, was community. To be neighbors. Yeah, now it's tremendously hard to do that. It was a lot easier when we were meeting together. That's been challenged. But I think that's what God really wants to bring us back to. Your neighbor. Which one of these was the neighbor? And the man answered, he said, the one who showed mercy on him. The one that had compassion on him. And folks, in this day and age, compassion and mercy run very, very low. Well, we can trip. We have a hair trigger sometimes when we're dealing with folks, even those that we love, even those that are our neighbors. You know, and what was it, Jesus? Which one was the neighbor? Which one was more neighborly? But the one that had compassion and the one that showed mercy. Folks, it's easy in the midst of a pandemic to show compassion and mercy to those that are around us. And I'm glad that we're doing that. But what happens when this is over with? What happens when we're able to get back together? Will we still show that same mercy? Will we still show that same type of compassion to our neighbors? Will we be neighborly? Will we be the one that will show the love of Christ in us, in our fellowship, outside of our fellowship? You know, right now we're being neighborly. We're checking on our neighbors. We're seeing if there's anything they need. We're running errands, and we're just calling to check up on them. But what does neighborly look like when we're outside of the circumstance of this pandemic down the road? You see, this was a situation of the man by the roadside was out of the ordinary. Neither the priest nor the Levite nor the Samaritan were anticipating finding a man beaten half to death on the side of the road when they were on their journey, their daily journey. They were going about life just like normal. They didn't expect this. Just like you and I didn't expect this pandemic, but what are we going to learn from it? What lessons are we allowing the Lord to teach us during this time? You know, I would ask you the same question that Jesus asked this man in these scriptures in Luke's gospel in chapter 10. Which one of these was the neighbor? And the answer was the one that showed compassion and the one that showed mercy. Are we a person that shows mercy and compassion every day in our lives, wherever we may go, whatever we may see? If we were to walk upon a man beaten on the side of the road, what would we do? Would we say, I'm not getting involved? Would we say somebody else will take care of it? Or would we be willing to step up and say, I want to be the hands and the feet and the voice and the wallet of Jesus? Yeah, my prayer is that each and every one of us would react in the same fashion that the Samaritan did, and that we would do so with love and compassion. These are things that we can learn from this particular story. Next time that you come across a stranger in need, how is it that this story is going to affect you? Will it make you think about this? Will it recall you to these particular scriptural passages? I pray that it will, and I pray that we will be those who will show mercy and compassion so that when people truly see us, they will prove the scripture to be true that says this. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Are we showing that sort of compassion to those that are our neighbors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Yeah, I hope and trust and pray we can say that we are. Let me give you our scriptures for next week, then I'll close us in a word of prayer. I will post these on our Facebook site as well. But next week, May the 6th, the Wednesday, the scripture reading that will start for this week is going to be actually Luke chapter 12 through Luke chapter 16. Once again, that's Luke chapter 12 through Luke chapter 16. And next Wednesday evening, our Bible study focal passage will be on the prodigal son, which comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And once again, if you didn't get all that, I will have that lesson posted on our site here very shortly. And I want to thank you once again for taking these opportunities to tune in with us. I know that speaking to a camera is completely different than speaking to a congregation, but I'm thankful to the Lord that he's given us at least this way that we can communicate. I was talking to our Cuban brothers and sisters over the past weeks that we've been in the midst of this pandemic, and they're not able to meet either, but they don't have the technology that we have to be able to produce a production and a Bible study in the way that you're watching right now. So pray for them. I also want to ask you to pray a very special and specific prayer. The retirement center that we work with, it is completely shut down in quarantine. And when I say shut down, there's nobody going in and nobody coming out. But to compound the problem, that food shortage that we dealt with in early March has gotten even more severe. They don't even know where they're getting food from day to day for the residents that are there. But we know that God is able. They are truly walking in faith and trusting God for their next meal. I want to ask you to pray for them as God puts them on your heart and on your mind. As we go to prayer right now, I just want to encourage you to keep this on your thought, keep it written down, and pray for them. And I can't wait to tell you what God's going to do as he unveils that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for examples such as the Samaritan that we read about in these passages in Luke. Lord, I pray that we won't find ourselves like the priest, too busy to stop. Lord, I pray that we won't find ourselves like the Levite whose status was so great that he felt like he didn't want to get involved and would pass by. But Lord, I pray that we would truly show your love and your compassion to each and every person that we come in contact with as we go through life. Lord, bless each and every person that that is hearing this message right now. Bless our church. And Lord, when I say the church, I'm often reminded it's not the building, it's the people. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the gift of Central Baptist Church, the body that we call Central Baptist. Lord, keep us safe and healthy. Thank you for what you've done so far. Lord, so far we don't know of anybody who has this coronavirus in our fellowship. We pray that you will continue to safeguard us in that manner. So Lord, right now, just give us a great, great week. Help us to seek you, to get deep into your word that we might truly hear what you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, I do lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us. Once again, if you have an opportunity, check out our library when we have an opportunity to get back. If you do want to check out some reading material, give us a call at the office. I'm sure that we can make arrangements for you to be able to do that. We know exactly who to get in touch with. But until Sunday, we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning by way of the same venues. Until the Lord sees otherwise, may God bless you, and I will look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.